Thank you, everyone that's participated musically in helping us worship, orchestra, and the special music, singing out in the congregation. I'm very grateful for many, many people already actively involved in ministry, just helping us to worship in just a host of different ways. I want to say a welcome to those live streaming. We have a number of faithful people that join us live stream, and we welcome you as well. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, this most popular chapter in this wonderful letter that we know is the letter to the Hebrews. The theme of Hebrews was, we would understand that, don't go back, Jesus is better. A letter written to followers of Christ. Their faith is in Jesus, but they're being tempted to turn away because everyone around them basically is Jewish and saying, come on back. I mean, don't you think this is enough? Why would you want to continue to follow Jesus? And this letter says, oh, don't go back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, we're in this 11th chapter. This, again, probably the best known, most famous chapter that's all about faith. I want to begin by making a statement, and I'll tie it to the theme. I'll make the statement now. I'll hit it once in the middle of the sermon, Lord willing. I'll hit it at the end as well. Don't believe people you don't trust, and don't trust people you don't know. Okay? I'm going to read that again. Don't believe people you don't trust, and don't trust people you don't know. You know, I've had people say, hey, you Christians, you're like the kind of people that just believe everybody, you trust everyone. I would say, no, we actually believe in the sinfulness of mankind. We're probably more careful than you. Be careful. You know, I've experienced different things in selling vehicles, right? I remember putting a motorcycle up for sale and immediately getting hit with multiple offers willing to pay more than my asking price. We will actually pay you extra if you would just be willing to work with us because I run a company of specialized European bike, you know, purchasers. And all you have to do is just send me your bank account number and I will gladly deposit and immediately delete. But guys, I know this and I got taken in a small way. I was selling a van that my wife used to drive and, hey, sir, I would like to buy your van. It looks good. Everything should be fine. You know, I'm out of town. I'm down in, down in Georgia. And all I want to do is make sure the VIN's good. Yeah, I'm the original owner. Everything's fine. Would you be willing to get a VIN check? Can you send me a copy of your VIN check? And I'm like, everything's fine. And he said, well, I'll buy it if you do the VIN check. And, you know, I thought, okay, what was it? I don't know, $50, $75. I do it. And that's over. And then I look into it and I realize I just got taken. And I sold something later and I got the same kind of emails. Yeah, I'll buy it if you just do a VIN check. These are people that work for the company. They get paid commission on how many VIN checks they can sell. And so they reach out to you and they sell one and get paid a couple bucks, whatever. That's the world we live in. Don't believe people you don't trust. Don't trust people you don't know. I just do one more real quick. It was a year ago I sold my beloved truck, you know, that I've been driving for whatever, 17 years. And I get I'm a student from Clemson. And I've been looking for a truck just like that. And we email back and forth. Could you come down just a little bit? Yeah, okay, I'll buy it. We set up the time. We set up the date. I change my schedule. You know, I actually get emails from the person. Hey, I'm right now at the bank getting the money. Okay, I'm a little late, but I'm at the insurance company getting it insured. I will see you in just a little bit. College kid and his grandfather show up. Hey, we want to buy it. Can we take it for a ride just to be sure? Of course you can. And then all of a sudden, it's all finished. Hey, we're going to buy it. Cash in hand, this is what we have. And it just happens to be $2,000 less than the price we agreed to. And I said, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you have that, but that's not what we agreed to. Yeah, but I have cash money right now, right here. Yeah, and I said, that's fine, you know, but not interested in selling it to you. And then Grandpa goes, okay, well, see, I'm here because this is my grandson, and his dad kind of left him when he was young, and, you know, they've gone through, you know, so they start bringing out the violins, you know. And now, but this is all he has. This is it. We will buy it right now. I said, no, thank you. Are you sure? We're going to walk away. That'd be fine. Yeah, not a problem. And so they walk away, and within 5 minutes, I got a phone call. Okay, we'll give you 1,000 more. Okay. And I'm like, no. I mean, if they would have given me the full price, I would have told them no. You know, because I'm thinking, I don't want to deal with this. Don't believe people you don't trust. And don't trust people you don't know. That applies to people. That never applies to God. Those of us who know God, we trust God, and so we believe His Word. See, we don't have to get a phone call from, I'm going to buy your truck, and this is the price I'll pay, and we're wrestling. Should we believe that? Well, you know, is that guy trustworthy? I don't know. Or if I get the VIN check, I'll buy your vehicle, and you're thinking, boy, I wonder if that's real. Or is this guy really, whatever, you know, a broker of European bikes, and he really, no. We don't even have to think about that with God. We trust God, and because we trust Him, we believe His Word. And the Hebrews needed to hear that. So the theme verse of chapter 11 is in the end of chapter 10, and it's verse 38 through 39. It begins with that great quote from Habakkuk 2:4. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, that is, hey, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. My soul has no pleasure in Him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. And the author of Hebrews is saying, we have faith. We are followers of Jesus. So let's keep following Jesus. What does that mean? Live a life of faith. What does that mean? It means to believe God's Word. Keep believing God's Word. So we transition into Hebrews. That's again, I didn't fix that from last time. Hebrews 11:1, it should say. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, because we trust God and we believe His Word, we know that every promise He makes will come true. Things hoped for. Future things that aren't here yet. And we deal with them like they're here right now because we believe God's Word. Why? Because we trust God. The conviction of things not seen. That's the idea. We believe whatever the Bible says, even when it talks about things that we can't see, because God's trustworthy. So we take Him at His Word. And to encourage us in that, it continues in Hebrews 11, in the verse 2. For by it the men of old gained approval. And the author of Hebrews now begins this discussion of all of these illustrations of men of old, people in the past. And we'll have one female, Sarah, come on today's text. People who believed God because He was trustworthy. And God said something, and they said, yes, I believe God's trustworthy. I will believe God's Word. People like Abel, people like Enoch, people like Noah, we considered him recently. And now today, people like Abraham. Today's message, by faith, Abraham. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and focusing on verses 8 through 12 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'll begin reading here at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promises, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And we'll pause there. You say, what's going on with Abraham? Okay, this should sound familiar. It's kind of like a repetition that's going on in this chapter. These are people who trusted in God, and they said, okay, so I believe Him. And when He says something, I will obey it. That's our first point this morning. Abraham trusted God by faith. You say, in what way did he trust God? Subpoint, he obeyed God's word. Look at your verse 8 in chapter 11, please. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Right? Abraham decided that God is a trustworthy God. And so when God calls Abraham to do something, he obeys. You say, what was it that he was called? I have Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 up, and then a little bit of verse 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, and of course there was a name change. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. That's what he did. In Hebrews, it makes it very clear. He didn't just obey and go. It says in verse 8, guys, obeying by going out. See, he was leaving something. And later on in verse 8, it says it again. Halfway through, it doesn't just say, and he went, not knowing where he was going. It says, he went out. And the words used in Hebrews reflect this emphasis that Abraham is somebody who obeys God's word. He's leaving something behind. He's leaving his country. He's leaving relatives. He's leaving his father's house. He's leaving his former life. Why? Because he trusted God. If I said to you, come on, we're going somewhere, leave everything you have, you might say, nothing personal, Greg, but I'm not sure I trust you that much. And that'd be fine. But here's the word of God saying to Abraham, this is what I want you to do. Go forth from your country. And Abraham obeyed. And what's really amazing to me about this is he went out and he doesn't know where he's going. I mean, look again at the second half of verse 8, Hebrews 11. Obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. The Lord doesn't tell him initially. If I could go back to a Genesis and chapter 12, now I'll give you the whole of verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I mean, you know, right, guys? Like if your boss says, hey, we're opening up a new branch. We want you to go to the new place and work. Are you okay with moving? I mean, the first thing you're going to say is, well, where is it? And he says, I'll show you. I mean, I'm guessing we'd all say, well, that's a no-brainer. No. You know, this isn't the military. If it's the military, okay, you signed up, you got to do it. This is not the military. Will you tell me where I'm going? No. Then my answer is no. And if the boss says, you don't trust me, you would say, I'm glad it's that obvious, right? Why would? But God says this to Abraham. And Abraham believes because he trusted God. Remember, who is this being written to? This is being written to the Hebrews. These are believers who have put their faith in Jesus as their Messiah. And now people are saying, come on. I mean, just come back to Judaism. You don't need to keep following Jesus. And they're being tempted to go back. And the writer of Hebrews is using Abraham as an illustration that God is trustworthy and you should continue to believe His word. And so that's the illustration of Abraham to encourage all of us. God hasn't changed. God is trustworthy. Let's keep believing His word, kind of like Abraham did. Okay? Remember, I opened up with the comment, don't believe people you don't trust. Don't trust people you don't know. If you know the Lord, you know He's trustworthy. And if you trust Him, then you know you can believe His word. It's not true that way with people. Yeah? I opened up with an illustration about selling things. I'm going to make a parallel illustration primarily for our younger people, because some of our younger, maybe older high school, college kids, you might think, yeah, you know, Pastor Greg, nothing personal, but old people like you, you know, sometimes you get taken. Okay, One, I am old. Two, sometimes I do get taken. The VIN got me. Just like kids your age. I mean, how many times has it happened that there's like a high school senior, young college guy gets a text, right? Or gets some kind of social media, wherever it's from. And it's, hey, I would really like to get to know you. And it's a little bit flirty and her picture's there and she's gorgeous. And all of a sudden you start going back on whatever social media you're using. And you know, the kid checks it out, right? Hey, there is someone named, her name, in the city she says she lives in, at the high school or college she says that she attends. Yeah, that's what happens when guys named Mohammed in Nigeria hack people's accounts, okay? But the high school kid doesn't know this. And then he starts texting her. And then all of a sudden things happen and maybe personal texts are made and perhaps picture sometimes inappropriate or sent. And then all of a sudden, what do you get? Okay, and I now have this picture. I now have this information. Here's the deal. I want $500 from you or else I'm going to post it publicly. And the college student goes, wow, when he posts it, sends the check. And then you get your next email or whatever. Okay, thanks for the $500. Now I'm serious. I'm going to make it public unless I get $1,000 from you. And I've read of a number of kids that have committed suicide because of that. I happen to know of somebody who works in law enforcement at a Christian university who says, I've been dealing with multiple male students who have done this. Multiple male students. Okay? It's a challenge where people are not careful. Don't believe people you don't trust and don't trust people you don't know. And for some reason in our sinfulness, we find ourselves trusting people we don't know, actually believing their promises, and then there is a God that we should know, and He's completely trustworthy. And everything He has given us in His Word is true. And guys, if you say to me, you know, Pastor Greg, should I trust this person? I don't know. Should I trust that person? I don't know. Should I trust God's Word? Absolutely. Because I know Him. And He's trustworthy. And when He makes a promise, He keeps it. Abraham trusted God by faith. And then secondly, he not only trusted God, our second point this morning, Abraham lived for God by faith. And we see that here in verses 9 and 10. And this one's really interesting to me. By faith, verse 9, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Okay, so what's going on here? First, he lived as an alien. You see that there in verse 9? By faith, he lived as an alien. Notice what comes next. In the land of promise. So God promises Abraham, I'm going to show you where we're going. And then he reveals it to him. Abraham gets there. And when you get there, you would think, wow, this is awesome. Time to put some roots down. But it says in verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien. The King James word to sojourn, the verb means to visit. Okay? It's like you have, you know, relatives come from out of town. And they say, hey, it's so nice to see you. And you're glad they're there. Guys, they don't pull in with the U-Haul truck, right? You know, it's like, wow, how long are you planning to stay? That would be challenging. But they come for a weekend or a week. It's called a sojourn. It's called a temporary visit. That's the verb. By faith, he lived as an alien. And notice what comes right after that. As in a foreign land. So living as an alien in a foreign land, but sandwiched right in the middle, he's in the land of promise. it's okay. Because even though he's in the land of promise, he's going to go a little farther in verse 9. He will be dwelling in tents. Abraham is the kind of guy who he comes to where the Lord has promised him. And it would be so easy to say, okay, basically I've trusted the Lord. That's enough. Now I'm just going to settle in here and this is what I'm living for. Abraham wouldn't do it. He's living as an alien. He's living as in a foreign land. He's living in a tent. Why? Because there was something bigger that he was living for. He was living for more than material possessions. I mean, I was trying to think of an illustration of this. I hope this will work. Let's pretend that you inherited a very large piece of property in an exclusive community. So here you have maybe whatever, you know, a couple acres, dozen acres, and there's mountain views, and there's maybe, I don't know, horse barns if you're into that kind of thing, okay? If you want, you could have dirt bikes in your horse barn if that helps, okay? And all of these incredibly beautiful homes, and you now own a piece of property in that exclusive place. And so you meet with what? You meet with their preferred architect, and he says, here are some of the plans that would fit beautifully on this property. And it's exciting. And then you meet with their preferred builder, and he walks you through some of the custom homes that he's built, and it's just gorgeous and beautiful. And they say, okay, so what would you like us to do? And you would say, we've made our decision. We would like you to build for us. And everybody's on the edge of a seat. You would say, a tent. A tent. Yeah. You know, is that in the, you know, the covenants? Well, it needs to be. Because that's what we're doing. We're living in a tent. The architect, the builder, everybody else. What are you talking about? Yeah, in reality, we're not going to be here that long. You see, I'm thinking I'll probably be in heaven in whatever so many years, and it's not going to matter anyhow. You say, but you got this beautiful piece of property. Yeah, but I got my eyes actually on something better. You say, what do you have your eyes on? That's verse 10. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And I don't know if this will be clear. It was a blessing to me. Just the definite article is used twice. Abraham's not just looking for a city with foundations. Abraham is looking for the city which has the foundations. There is one specific city that has one specific kind of foundation. You say, what city is that? It says in the second half of verse 10, whose architect and builder is God. And no offense to you, to stay with that illustration just a touch longer. No offense to you, Mr. Architect or Mr. Builder. God bless you guys. But I got better aspirations than that. I am looking for something eternal. This is a heavenly city. Now, we might have to kind of think through that a little bit, because for a lot of us, not everyone, but for some of us, we're not excited about living in cities, right? I mean, for some of us, we think of cities as high crime, dirty, like no space. And if anything, you know, can we get out of the city and can we go out and live in the country, like far away from everybody? Some of us maybe feel that, right? You know, I've explained that to my wife more than once. And I said, honey, we were looking to relocate a couple years back. I said, baby, can't we go out farther? Just like away from everybody and away from everything. And she's like, you're a pastor. I say, so what? Can we just get away from everybody and everything? And I just want a little place with like a barn and a wood stove you know, a place you could shoot in your backyard and not have any neighbors, you know? And my sweet wife, she said, you know what, that's not my preference, but if you would like to do that, she said, that's fine. And I will come every Saturday and I will visit you and make sure you're okay, you know? So obviously I didn't do it. See, that's not, don't think that way, like of Abraham, okay? Back then, cities were secure. Remember back in the day? A city had a wall. A city was a safe place. Back then, if you're not living in a city, you're just a target for whatever band of bad guys is passing through. So here is Abraham in a positive sense. Again, me personally, I don't think I'd ever want to live like in a really urban area, okay? Any more than I am now. I got neighbors, like five of them. And it's interesting, okay? But for him, he's looking forward to a city whose architect and builder is God. And in that sense, it would be a very positive thing. So let me see just if it's not clear, if I could just make it more clear. I hope I didn't throw you off in illustrations. Abraham is the kind of guy that God says, hey, come on, follow me. And I'll tell you where later. And Abraham trusted God, so we believe God. And then Abraham experiences God's faithfulness. And here he is in the land of promise. And Abraham could have taken his eyes off of God and said, now I have good stuff, I'm just going to enjoy it. He didn't do that. He continued to live a life of faith. He continued to look forward to things unseen. He continued to believe God's word. Context. This is being written to Hebrews. These are people who put faith in Jesus. And now, for whatever reason, they're being tempted to move away, to walk away, and to go in very bad places. And we all know people that have done that. People that once were faithful in church would read their Bibles and tell you the gospel. And then over time, well, you know, maybe kind of. And then over time, not so much. And then maybe you hate it to happen, but occasionally, no. Because they don't believe God is trustworthy. So they no longer believe His Word. And I would suggest it's because they don't know Him. See, if you really know Him, then you would know He's trustworthy. And if He's trustworthy, you can believe His Word. But people who say, I don't believe His Word, and don't consider Him trustworthy, I would submit, simply don't know Him. And the Hebrews were tempted to head in that direction. And this is a letter to encourage them, keep living for God by faith. Kind of like, forget the kind of, like Abraham did. Actually, a couple of you guys sent me a email this past week referencing an article that L. Mohler published September 18th, 2023. And Dr. Mohler's article was called The Train is Leaving the Station, Andy Stanley's Departure from Biblical Christianity. So Andy Stanley is a megachurch pastor in North Point, Atlanta. They report a weekly attendance of approximately 30,000 people a week. And he's hosting a conference that will be held at his church where they will be openly inviting men that are married to other men to speak, because they want to have a more gentle view of homosexuality. And they would believe that simply opposing homosexuality is simply not something they want to do. They're looking for that middle ground. And see, the way they paint the narrative is this. There's all these Bible people, believing people that just like hate homosexuals and whatever. Which, if I could just slide this in here real quick, guys, is simply not the case. I actually came across a study reading about this. They were interviewing parents of professing homosexuals, and they found out that Bible-believing parents of professing homosexuals are actually more kind to their kids than non-Bible-believing parents, which is exactly what we would expect. Because those of us who know the gospel know that Christ has called us to love all people. And even when people walk away from Christ, and even when people come to wrong conclusions, we still love them because that's what Jesus did. And so we want to be careful we don't fall into the false narrative. I think that Al Mohler's article title is interesting. Andy Stanley's Departure from Biblical Christianity. You say, what would that be like? That would be like the opposite of Abraham. A guy who experiences great blessing, but he keeps his eyes on the heavenly city because he continues to trust in Christ and believe His Word. If what Al Mohler is saying is accurate, and I just checked a little bit, you can check the article for yourself. The best I know, it seems to be accurate. Then I would agree. We have a person who's no longer believing God's Word. You say, why would that be? The only thing I could think of is because he doesn't count God trustworthy. But Abraham did. And so this illustration is supposed to encourage these Hebrew believers, keep living for God by faith. Number one, Abraham trusted God by faith. Two, he lived for God by faith. Third one, final one, let's hit it. Number three, Abraham and Sarah. I put slashes to get it on the line. Abraham and Sarah believed God by faith. Verse 11 and verse 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. That quote from Genesis 15, verse 5. You say, what did Sarah do? Well, verse 11, by faith, even Sarah received ability to conceive. So Sarah and Abraham and Sarah together, they considered the Lord faithful. He had made a promise to them back in Genesis. And He told them they were going to have a child. And now many of you remember Sarah laughed initially. And we get that. Because at the time the promise was made, if I'm right, Sarah's 90 years old, Abraham's 100 years old. Okay? Guys, that doesn't happen. That would obviously take an incredible miracle. All right? Nancy and I were blessed yesterday with our fifth grandchild. Okay? So we've just been having a lot of fun. I spent a good amount of the afternoon yesterday just hugging and cuddling this incredibly cute little girl. And if you said, Pastor Greg, I mean, that she's beautiful, I would say she is. And she seems to like you, I would say she does. Yeah. And she's just snuggly, cuddly, cute. And I kind of didn't want to leave, you know. And finally I thought, okay, I need to transition out. But, you know, my wife stayed there with our other daughter, just having a wonderful time. If you said, this is awesome, I'd say it is. If someone told you Greg and Nancy had another baby, that would not be awesome, okay? That would be a miracle, okay? You say, why? Because it would be, okay? Just trust me. It would be a miracle. That's Abraham and Sarah. You know, it's not like they're really praying for a kid and they're trying to have kids and it's not... That ship has gone. They're older now. And biologically, it's simply not a possibility. You say, but didn't Sarah laugh? You know, guys, we all have times where it's difficult to maybe embrace fully God's Word. And the first time you look at a verse, and then you think, well, I don't know. But then by God's grace, the Spirit works in your life. And no doubt that's exactly what happened in Sarah's life. And the Lord would bring her around and she would realize, yes, I do trust the Lord. I do believe His Word. So she considered Him faithful who promised. They considered Him faithful. And secondly, what happened? The Lord obviously proved Himself faithful. That's verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead at that, he was too old to father a child. As many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. How many offspring does Abraham eventually have? You know, it'd be like trying to count the stars. It'd be like going out to the, you know, the coast and trying to count the grains of sand. Too many to count. You say, what's the point? The point is that you can trust God's Word because God is faithful and you know Him. And if you know the Lord, then you know He's faithful. And if you know He's faithful, then you can trust His Word. It's not always that way with people, right? Don't believe people you don't trust, and don't trust people you don't know. I am not making a plea to just be a person filled with faith who believes everyone. If anything, I'm hoping this will push you back the other way with one another. But I'm using that to contrast. If you know God, He is a faithful God, and you can believe every promise He's ever made because you know Him and you know He's faithful. Just this past month, my mom received in the mail a letter that, hey, you're getting this magazine for free. It's not free anymore. You don't need to do anything. But we'll continue to send you the magazine, and we will charge your charge card $200. Now, you know, my mom's a little bit older, and she didn't stop to think, they don't have my charge card. She didn't stop to think. Every piece of mail like that, just throw it away. Don't even read it. She didn't do that. My dad got nervous with it, okay? And sometimes it's a mail thing, sometimes it's a phone call. And I say this, it's because we have some older people worshiping with us. Nance and I do this, and I'd encourage anybody to do this, especially our older people. As a rule, my love for you is your pastor. Don't answer your phone. It is unwise to answer your phone. We never answer our phone. We have a machine that takes all the calls. We go back and check them. If it says, hey, this is a credit card company, and we think your account's been hacked, one thing I know, it's not the credit card company. Okay, it's not. You say, how would you know? Don't call the number they left because it's not the credit card company's number. Take out your credit card and call the 1-800 number on the credit card. So I would tell anybody, don't answer your phone. Okay, I answer my cell when the names come up. Okay, and the names come up, I'm good. So my mom, you know, I love my mom. I love my dad. They're older. And my mom thought, wow, what do I do? And my dad said, hey, you need to call. You need to call. So she called. And they said, okay, we're so glad you called. And to cancel, all you need to do is to open up your computer and do whatever. And she did. And then immediately her computer started saying, warning, you are being hacked. This is Microsoft. Do not talk to anybody on the phone. Click here immediately. Microsoft warning, you are being hacked. And she, what? She believed people she didn't trust, and she trusted people she didn't know, so she clicked on it. And a very nice person from quote-unquote Microsoft helped her to realize that she was about to be hacked by the magazine scam, and this very nice person helped her. As he said, all I need to do is get on your computer. And she said, sure, you could do that. Thankfully, now she got a couple, this guy got some money out of her. It wasn't excessive. Thankfully, when he said, now the last thing I need is bank account information. And something in her mind said, this is wrong. And she shut down. And thankfully, with the help of some family members, she's now changed everything. She lost just a couple $100. I'm glad that's all. Don't believe people you don't trust. Don't trust people you don't know. Again, I would not answer my phone today. You can disagree with me. That's fine. You say, Greg, if I call your home number, you won't answer. I just told you I won't. Okay? Yeah, I mean, that's why is that shocking? Leave a message, you know. Shoot me an email. I generally don't respond to emails from people that I don't, you know, if they're questionable emails. I would never believe the guy knocking at the door telling you, hey, I care about you and I'm your friend and I just want to. It's probably not true. We should be very, very cautious that we don't believe promises by people we don't trust, and we don't trust them because we don't know them. Period. New sentence. God's not like that. Is your faith in God? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you turned to Jesus in a personal way and said, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. I believe that. If you're trusting in God, then He's trustworthy. And if He's trustworthy, then you can believe His promises. And every promise in this book will come true. You say, Greg, what is that called? That's called faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Everything that God says is true. What is that called? That's called faith. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. And I am not here trying to get you to be convinced that if you just had greater faith, you would be okay. Remember, Abraham messed up at times. Sarah messed up at times. Go back to last week. Noah messed up at times. The key is not the strength of your faith, even though we want strong faith. The key is the object of your faith, guys. And if you have faith in God through Christ, then I would certainly hope you consider Him trustworthy. And if you consider Him trustworthy, then you can be confident that He will keep every promise of His Word. So when people are trying to call you back and people are trying to get you to doubt the Scriptures, you want to remind yourself, okay, who wrote this book? God, is He trustworthy? Yes. So should I continue to believe His Word? Absolutely. Like Abraham. That's what it means to walk by faith, to continue to believe God's Word. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, then I'd encourage you even today to begin following Him by turning from your sin and putting your faith in Him, trusting that He died on that cross in your place, that He rose again from the dead so that one day you too will experience a resurrection, not to judgment, but to eternal life. If you've never put faith in Jesus, come to Jesus. And for those of us, I hope all of us, who actually know Jesus, let's keep being reminded of what faith is. Faith is not, wow, I just need to have faith. And if I pray hard enough, then I'll get what I really want. That has nothing to do with this text. That is not what the Bible teaches. Faith is saying, Lord, this is what Your Word says. I consider You trustworthy. I will believe Your Word. It's what Abraham did. By God's grace, I hope it's what we all do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for a Word that tells us what faith is, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the evidence of things, the certainty of things not seen. Lord, we're encouraged by examples of people who considered You trustworthy, and so they believed Your Word. People that are far from perfect, people that failed, even as we fail, people like Abraham and Sarah, and yet they believed Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would help us to know You better, to know You so well, that we are so firmly convinced that You're trustworthy, that by Your grace, we would continue to believe Your Word for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.